In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I imagine that if I asked you to produce a list, a lot of us could pull out of our pockets or out of our purse a list of something. Because it seems to me that we spend an inordinate amount of time preparing lists. There's the to-do list. There's the list of our favorite things. There may even be the bucket list. You know, we live in LA. There is the A list. Then, of course, there's the B list. And then, of course, God forbid, you might be on the C list. Or worse yet, not on any list and not invited to anything. No, there's the Dean's list. A few years ago, what they did was, in the monthly newsletter, they actually published, it was stewardship season, and they actually published the name of the parishioners and how much they pledged. Now there's a list that did not go over very well, but the point is, you don't want to be on the bottom of that list. Or, you know, alumni associations do that all the time. You know, if you pledge $1 zillion, your name is on not only that, but they probably rename the university after you. But by the time you get to the bottom, you know, where's your name for your lousy $100? You just didn't make it to the list because you weren't quite good enough. So there are times when we find ourselves at the bottom of lists, even to-do lists. You know, I find myself that when I'm creating a list of the things that I have to do, usually it's the easy stuff, you know, and usually at the very last thing on the list is the one thing, whatever it is, that I really don't want to do. You know, you put it off. It's just like, nah, I don't want to deal with that. And that's the one that you keep moving day to day to day. Because I don't want to deal with this bottom of the list kind of stuff. Then there's the most wanted list. You know? You don't want to be on the bottom of the most wanted list. In the first century, there were lists too. Lists are nothing new. And I would imagine that on that list would certainly be, if you were a Gentile, you'd be on the list. If you were a Roman, you would be on that list. If you were this poor dude filled with demons, you would be on the bottom of that list. If you were a whore, a prostitute, if you were a leper, you would be on the bottom of that list. Sort of bottom feeders at the bottom of the tank. There are times that, even now, on our list, there are people, obviously, at the bottom. The people that we don't want to deal with. You know, sometimes it might be the homeless. It might be, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever you can think of, you know, a person who's sick, lepers, you know, whatever the case may be, there are always people at that bottom of the list. But more telling is when we find ourselves sometimes on the bottom of that list. Because there's something that we're not handling, there's something that we are perhaps despairing about. There's a situation perhaps that's become bigger and stronger than all of us. I bet even Dr. Deb has a list of favorite hymns, right?
Absolutely.
And a list of hymns you never want to play.
Absolutely.
See? In today's gospel, the overriding theme that struck me is fear. Here are these people witness Jesus doing this great miracle, and what do they ask him to do? Get out of here. Leave. There is so much fear about what Jesus might do, because when Jesus comes to town, usually everything kind of gets shaken up a bit and a little bit upset. Jesus undoes things and does things in a new kind of way. And that scares us. And sometimes we get very scared ourselves about when change comes into our lives. The other part of this story, there seems to be a little bit of begging going on. Not only did the people beg Jesus to leave, but the demons begged to go into the pigs, and the man begged to go with Jesus, and Jesus says, no. No, 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 no. So you don't always get what you beg for. So sometimes when we're praying, you know, we can find ourselves begging. You know, oh, Lord, please, please, please. Oh, make this go away. Oh, make this happen. Oh, make that happen. Beg, beg, beg. Nag, 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 nag. You know? I would imagine God must get tired of that after a while. Imagine. And it's not just us doing it. Think about everybody doing it. But there are all of these times when we do that. And why do we do that? And why do we get upset when we don't get the answer? Because we're stuck in this mode of begging. Because what's really keeping us from letting go and letting Jesus into our life and transforming it as he did in the gospel with this man is fear. Because we're not really sure what it's going to look like if Jesus answers that prayer. So it's easy to stay stuck. It's easier to live with the fear sometimes than it is to move on. Because at least in the fear, you may not be comfortable being at the bottom of the list. You know, you may not be happy with viewing the world from rock bottom. But nevertheless, it can be more comfortable than what you don't know is going to happen. You know, what do they say? The devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. Sometimes living in a situation is better than the possibility of it changing. You just don't know. One of the things that I learned in recovery and something that kind of troubled me initially is the third step, which says turn your life over to the care of God, basically. Let go and let God. How easy is that to do? To let go and let God. Because that takes trust. That takes faith. And we have to be willing then to move into new territory. And oftentimes that territory may be unknown. We don't know. We just don't know. But we have to allow ourselves to be transformed. You know, where did Jesus hang out? Jesus hung out at the bottom of the list, didn't he? Jesus, that's where you're going to find Jesus, the bottom of that list. He hung out, you know, in the New Testament. Well, who was he hanging out with? All the people at the bottom of the list. So when we find ourselves at the bottom of whatever list and stuck wherever we are, it's a good time to remember that we're not alone. But we have to be willing to let go and let God transform our lives and deal with whatever is offered. Inevitably, it will be better than what it is that we're giving up. Because God's love will transform us. And each time we let go and each time we let God, it gets a little bit easier. It gets a little bit easier. I want to end by reading you a little something from the 12th century philosopher and theologian, Meister Eckhart. And it's called Love Does That. All day long, a little burrow labors, sometimes with heavy loads on her back, and sometimes with just worries about things that bother only burrows. And worries, as we know, can be more exhausting than physical labor. Once in a while, a kind monk comes to her stable and brings a pear. But much more than that, he looks into the burrow's eyes and touches her ears. And for a few seconds, the burrow is free and even seems to laugh, because love does that. Love frees. So, let go, let God's love into your life, and experience the transformation that can come when we let go and we let God. Amen.